So whenever I receive an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it manifests in power. It manifests in the bringing of souls. It manifests in praise. It manifests in protection. But then it also manifests in peace.
Life is a journey. And as in every journey, you need a roadmap. Today on Your Roadmap to Success, you will receive detailed instructions on how to navigate through life successfully. Welcome to Your Roadmap to Success with author and teacher, Neil Achampong.
Right. Today, I want to speak to you on the subject outpourings. And outpourings. There are several outpourings in the scriptures. I will look at one of them today. The two major ones is what will be the subject for this series of messages. And we are going to pray for an outpouring during the fast as we begin tomorrow. Amen. Outpourings. Everybody say outpourings. Now, this message is based on a prophetic word that God gave me, that the answer to your situation is an outpouring. For every situation that you are in, you need an outpouring. To use another word, you need God's intervention. God will have to literally break through some stuff and step into your life. Amen. So let's first of all begin with a working definition of what I mean by an outpouring. Everybody say outpouring. I want you to understand that we are in the season of an outpouring. Everybody say we are in the season. When you are in a season for something, it means you can see it. It means you can expect it. It means you can receive it. And I'm praying today that you would receive an outpouring. All right, so let's begin with a working definition. What is an outpouring? In the context of this lesson, an outpouring is a divine move of God where he pours out without limits or without measure his spirit or kingdom blessings on the believer that causes the lives of those who receive it to never ever be the same. An outpouring is a divine move of God. In other words, I'm not talking about coming to church and having church, but you can literally sense that God is physically present, even though he is not physical. This is what we talk about, and we call it the manifested presence of God. You can some way, somehow, tangibly feel that he's there. Have you ever been to that arena before? God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. But there comes a time you can tell that he's in the place. It was Jacob who said, the Lord was in this place, and I did not know it because of the thing that took place. Whenever we talk about an outpouring, there is a divine move of God where God, without limits, everybody say without limits. When God pauses, his blessing is without limits. I am not talking about a house. I'm talking about salvation. I am not talking about cars. I'm talking about anointing. God pours out upon you in such a measure that Satan can rise, but he can never overpower you. Amen. And so anytime I receive a prophetic word, I always want to track it in scripture. If you cannot track it in scripture, you need to toss it and be cautious who spoke to you. Amen. So we're going to look at one of them today. Based on the scriptures, God promises an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He promises an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Next week, I will look at the outpouring of blessings. In the book of Malachi, he says, prove me now with your tithes and offerings and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour you out. That is an outpouring. It is an outpouring of blessing. And it tells you what he is going to use it to do. If you want to find, I'll be here next week. But for today, we're in the book of Joel, chapter 2. Joel, chapter 2. Here we see an outpouring of the Holy Spirit promised by God. And afterwards, I will pour out. Everybody say, pour out. And afterwards, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. And your young men will see what? Visions. In Acts chapter 4, we see this promise fulfilled. Acts chapter 2. Look there with me in the fourth verse. In the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, verse 4. He said, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit, what? Enabled them. Verse 16 to verse 17. No. After the Holy Spirit fell, people were figuring out, what does this mean? Peter stands up and he makes it clear. Because the people were saying, all these guys who are speaking in tongues, and blah, 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 blah. He did not understand that it was an outpouring. He says, it looks like the guys are drunk. And listen to what Peter says. He says, no, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. That is the verse we just read. In the last days, everybody say in the last days. Do you believe we are in the last days? Then we are in the season for the outpouring. God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. When demons want to take over people, do they spare children? Do they spare children? Why do we parents run away from pushing our children to seek a move of the spirit in them? They don't understand. Satan will take over. It's time to wage war. I said, it's time to what? Wage war. So the scripture says that God is going to pour out his spirit. Whenever you receive an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, there are several manifestations. Number one, there is a manifestation of power. Like the day of Pentecost, we are in expectation for a limitless power as a result of the indwelling Holy Spirit so that we can accomplish the work of the kingdom. Everybody say the work of the kingdom. Secondly, when we receive an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, there is a manifestation of people or souls. The Bible says, and on that day, 3,000 people came to the Lord. When we receive an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, there is a manifestation of praise. Can I stay on this one few minutes? God literally sends an outpouring of his spirit upon all flesh so that men will glorify God, driving out the spirit of heaviness and depression. Amen. So the solution to your stress is an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I said the solution to your is an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. All right, tell me in the book of Isaiah chapter 61, because some of you seem to like, well, what is he saying? So if you speak in tongues and you are stressed, something is wrong with your tongues. It should never be. Because the Holy Spirit on the inside of you is supposed to do that. He's supposed to pour on you a spirit of praise. Are you in the book of Isaiah 61? Let's pick up the reading from the first verse. I'll read from the New International Version. The Spirit of the Lord, of the Sovereign Lord, is on me. Isaiah is prophesying about Jesus. He said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Please notice that. The broken what? Hearted. To proclaim freedom to the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all who mourn. Verse 3. Read with me from the screen, shall we? And provide for those who grieve in Zion. To bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. The oil of joy instead of mourning. And the garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord. When there is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, notice the first two verses. He says the Spirit of the Lord is where? is upon me. When the Holy Spirit is poured out in that unlimitless measure, it comes upon you. The scripture says it ought to release a spirit of joy to replace the spirit of heaviness. Are you with me? He said, bestow upon them a crown of beauty instead of what? Instead of? So when you are depressed, saying that you don't look beautiful, you need to come back to this scripture. God says, I will pour upon you a crown of what? I'll pour upon you a crown of what? He will bring you beauty instead of ashes. The word ashes, because back in those days when people were going through difficult moments, we'll put ashes on themselves. And once they do it, they don't look nice. But they did it only to show the state in which they are. God is saying when there is an outpouring of my spirit, it introduces into you that level of life where you don't see yourself as being sad anymore. There is trouble, but trouble don't hit you. I said there is what? You can see trouble surround you, but it will not come near you. That sounds like oxymoron, right? It surrounds you, but it will not what? Why? Because on the inside of you resides the Holy Spirit. There is an outpouring. He pours it without measure. If you allow me, I will use another word. There is overflow of discharge. It is like a dam that has broken, and the swelling, voluminous waters will come rushing, sweeping out of it past anything. I decree and declare today upon your life, may the Spirit of God, let there be an outpouring in a greater measure, that you will understand we are in the season of an outpouring. The spirit of joy. So when you wake up in the morning and things look bleak, you tell yourself, Neil is not born for this. I have an outpouring of the Spirit. And because of that, I have the spirit of joy. Instead of what? Notice one of the things. Please go back, put up verse 3, Isaiah 61. And I want to show you something, because that is so crucial. He says to, and he said, provide for those who grieve in Zion and bestow on them a crown of beauty. Instead of beauty, the oil of what? Joy. He is the Christian who has woke up this morning, and because of the bills, because of death, because of some issue, he is worrying about what is going on. But we are in the season of the overflow. There is an outpouring. And as you begin to pray, please, let's go down to the next few verses, because he says he is going to put on you the garment. He doesn't take off what you have, but he takes his and he puts it on you. He says the garment of praise instead of the spirit of what? So without his garment, it is the spirit of? Talk to me. Without his garment, it is the spirit of? So you are walking around wondering, this world is not my home. You are singing it, you are crying, and then you begin to pray, Father, let there be an outpouring of the Holy Ghost upon me. And all of a sudden, there is a shaking. And all of a sudden, there's a cloven tongues of fire. And all of a sudden, there is a move. But sometimes, there is nothing, but God will still show up. And then he says, as soon as I come in, I take the garment of... You guys didn't get it. That verse is heavy. I said that verse is what? If you read English, it doesn't sound heavy until you read the Hebrew. He says he takes the garment and then he puts it on you. In the Old Testament, garments were important. You all remember that Joseph's daddy, Jacob, gave him a... What did they call that garment? It's a garment of many colors. What was it supposed to do? It was supposed to show that he's favored by the father. The garment also told the brothers that this one is not what? Ordinary. The garment drew the hand of the enemy upon his life. But even though they took the garment off, because it is not just a garment, he says, instead of the spirit. So he's telling you that this garment, even though it's garment, please pay attention to that word in here. He says, a garment of what? A garment of, instead of the spirit of. So he's making a comparison that this is not just an ordinary garment. But when the garment hits your body, it introduces a spirit, an outpouring on the inside. And it suppresses the spirit of despair. So the child of God is not supposed to run around, I'm sad, I'm stressed, I'm sad. Fine, we are human, those things will come. When it comes, cry a little, stop. Catch yourself and say, no, this is not what I'm born for. I can have the garment of praise instead of the spirit of. Why did the scripture use garment? Because men must see it. Nobody sees the spirit. So he says, I give you a garment that those who don't like you will see it. Those who like you will see it. You yourself, when you look on your body, you can see your own garment. Oh, glory be to God. I feel this in my bones, then I can declare it. May God Almighty put his garment of praise upon you, that you will begin to rise up and sing. Hallelujah to the King. So you will go to that workplace. People will come in. We don't like your type. I said, thank you. My type is a type that wears the garment of praise. So they will meet at meetings. They'll begin to wonder, didn't we put him in the corner? We thought that his life was over. How in the world has, because there has been an out. Now, ajajajaja is just a sign of exclamation. It's my own language. Add it to my dictionary. I thank God Almighty. I sense somebody sitting on my left side. I decree and declare, may the garment of praise, may the garment of praise replace the spirit of heaviness. Let it replace it. Let it replace this. He says, and they will be called oaks. 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 Somebody say oaks. They will be called oaks of righteousness. They will be. Not God will call you. People. Because when they see it, they said that this individual lost their job. But they are smiling. Are they stupid? No. According to the world, you are stupid. But according to God, you are not. Why? Because there is a garment. Please follow me. Garment is seen. God says your garment of praise must be seen, and it must push those who see it to declare you are an oak of righteousness. So until they have made the declaration about you that you are an oak of righteousness, they have not seen this. A spirit is only a spirit, but until the spirit, like a wind, begin to push things down, the thing that are knocked down without anybody seeing who is knocking them down is the evidence that there is the wind. So when the Holy Spirit puts the garment of praise upon you, it is the first level of manifestation. But then people look at it and say, that is not all. Because God's Spirit will begin to knock more things down. Listen to this message over and over, because sometimes I come here loaded in my spirit, and I don't know if I do justice by declaring something to you. Because the thing sits in my spirit a certain way. Lord, may you open their eyes to see. Father, open their eyes to understand. Bring them to a place to know that when there is an outpouring, we receive power. We receive the move of God in an ordinary way. People will begin to gravitate towards you. But then we have peace. Everybody say peace. Everybody say peace. You didn't hear me. I say peace. Peace. In other words, the scripture says, when there comes the outpouring, you will have
You will have.
You sound like a people who are sad. This morning we are going to rejoice. He says, when there is an outpouring. So please don't limit this Holy Spirit thing to speaking in tongues. Every day sad, but the Holy Spirit is on me. No, that's not true. It can't be true. It's one or the other. Because he's supposed to bring that into your life. And I call that peace the impartation of confidence that releases you from stress. When there is an outpouring, the Holy Spirit brings to us power. It brings people. It causes us to receive the spirit of gladness instead of the spirit of what? Heaviness. But then it brings us peace. Everybody say peace. Peace. I call it the undisturbed peace. Can I explain what I just said? In the scriptures, peace is not the absence of trouble. Jesus said in the book of John 14, he says, in this world you will have what? Trouble. Be of good cheer, I have overcome. So he recognizes that you and I will always have trouble. But having peace in spite of the trouble is what God's peace is all about. I'm not talking about the United Nations peace. But in the midst of the trouble, you still experience what? There is a level of confidence that my God will bring this to pass. Have you ever experienced any little bit of that before? I call it undisturbed what? Peace. In other words, people are looking, his head is going to go. No. How in the world are you keeping it all together? And he said, because I have an out. All right. Come on, talk to me. I have an out. This is why the average believer should not rest until there is the fullness of the Holy Spirit on you. Because he's there to fulfill that. Undisturbed. Finally, when the Holy Spirit is upon us, he brings to us what I call protection. Everybody say protection. The Spirit of God has a way. I think it's the book of Zechariah says he will be like a wall of fire around you. Have you ever walked into a meeting and you realize everybody there doesn't like you? Anybody like that? It could be an interview. Come on, let me see your hands. There's nothing wrong. Have you? No, I'm trying to make sure, because if you haven't experienced it, what I'm about to say, you may not fully understand it. I walked, for the sake of protection, I'll keep certain things off. I walked into a party. And when I walked in there, everybody kept quiet. A room of 150 plus people. Is that possible? Was it because I was that important? No. Or I was so intimidating with my height? That is how I knew that on every table, they were talking about me before I got in there. So I sensed the spirit in the atmosphere. And once everybody was quiet, I shouted across, I am here. Let the party start. Because I was going to intimidate them. I sat on my seat and I realized that every seat was taken but an empty table. And all of a sudden, I could hear Satan talk. Now that you make all that noise, you are by yourself. And I could feel it. I was by myself. So I sat down for a few minutes and I felt like, why don't you just get up and go to every table? Then another thing said, don't go because it looks like they don't like you. So I got up because I understood that I have the ability to overcome every hurt or harm or distress or danger. So I went from table to table, shaking hands. How are you doing? How are you doing? How are you doing? Everybody doing good? Everybody okay? And the party was not for me. And then I shook hands with every single one of them. And one person
older lady got up and says, "They were all talking about you." And I said, "I know. That's why I told them I'm here. So let the party get what? Started." So I went to sit on my seat, and she joined me, moved, joined me. Few minutes, two more people joined. Very soon, the table of eight was full. And I told them, "Why did you leave your people?" And they said, "We feel kind of guilty. So we just wanted to make a confession." I said, "Let confession begin." So long story short, it was done. What I'm trying to say is that when you walk into a room full of people who don't like you, God will protect you. He will what? He will what? Protect you. So whenever I receive an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it manifests in power. It manifests in the bringing of souls. It manifests in praise. It manifests in protection. But then it also manifests in peace. Amen. Let me end with a story in the book of Genesis chapter 24. After that, we are going to pray and ask the Lord, we need an outpouring. Because an outpouring is the solution to your predicament. In the book of Genesis 24, you read a story of Abraham sending Eliezer, his servant, to go and look for a wife for his son who? Isaac. In that story, we see Abraham. Number two, we see Eliezer. Number three, we see Isaac. Then we see Rebecca. I have taught you over the years that the Old Testament stories are not there to become stories for story's sake. God always predates his principles in stories before he brings them up in the New Testament. Abraham, throughout the entire story, is representative of God the Father, who wanted a bride for his son Isaac, and therefore sent his servant Eliezer, the Holy Spirit, who in these last days has been poured out upon all flesh. Why? So that he can have a bride called the church. Rebecca's destiny was changed. Remember when Eliezer got there, what was Rebecca doing? Anybody who remember the story? She was fetching water and was serving. This is what we are supposed to do. Y'all pride people who don't want to serve nobody. God started the story back in the Old Testament before Jesus said, in the kingdom, the greatest what serves. Rebecca comes around. Please notice, this is very important, an office to help Eliezer. Once that happens, and she leads him back home to the father, and the marriage is sorted out, Eliezer does something that is theologically important. The Bible says Eliezer gives her gifts. And if it's symbolic of the Holy Spirit, he gives gifts. And the gifts were the gifts of gold, not ordinary. What I want you to see is that Rebecca changed from being ordinary peasant girl into becoming the bride of the son in a moment because of the relationship she had with the Holy. We are looking for money, we are looking for fame, we are looking for power, we are looking for all kinds of, but it takes our relationship with our modern day Eliezer. That is how we come to be with the Father. So the story tells us that the marriage was put into place. Eliezer rejoices, goes back home, tells Abraham, everything happened just the way you said it. I found this girl who helped me. I took her home and everything was put into place and I given all those gifts to her. waiting for the day that Rebecca will be brought to Isaac. There's coming a day we will be brought to the Lord. But in the meantime, we ought to beautify ourselves with the gifts that are left by Eliezer.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.